You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel, for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, we are speaking with Peter Diebel, a board member of the Diebel Legacy Fund, a small local charitable organization, but one which has impacted their community greatly over the past 12 years. Peter, certainly a privilege to have you a part of Enterprise Radio.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you having us on here.
You're more than welcome, Peter. Good to have you out with us as well. So first of all, what is medical Samaritanism and how did you come up with the idea?
Well, I'll tell you, we had our fund's been around for 12 years, and for the first 10 years, we were very transactional, meaning that people would give us money. We would then invest it in other charitable organizations, programs that happened to fit within our purview, if you will. And that worked very well. And we were pretty good at being conservative in that and making good choices. And so, for instance, we've invested about $500,000 into organizations here in Orlando, and the economic impact has been over $2 million, which we're very, very proud of. I will tell you this, when the economy tanked, we, like just about every charitable organization out there, had to reassess things. And what we decided was, at the end of the day, what we really wanted to do was to create more doctors like my brother, because he really was the best example of what I would call a medical Samaritan. It's someone who really is like a good Samaritan, but the way that they impact the community is through medical or health care. We found out after he passed away about several different families that he was helping on different levels, were things like coming in and checking on bedridden kids and things like this that he just did out of the goodness of his heart and didn't tell anybody about. The only reason we found out about it was that the people that he was impacting told us about it after he passed. And so in our hopes of creating creating more doctors like my brother, we came up with the concept of the Medical Samaritan Program, and that's kind of where that term came from.
Well, that certainly makes a lot of sense without a question. Now, where is medical Samaritanism needed? What does it help, or who does it help?
Well, I'll tell you, it's needed just about everywhere. We really, you know, we've been very local-based. Everything that we've invested in the past has been in Central Florida. All of the people that have won our Good Samaritan Award have been residents of Central Florida. And so when you think about the healthcare in this country and abroad, but in this country, there are still, even with the Affordable Care Act and other things out there, other efforts out there, there are still a lot of people that are not getting the healthcare that they probably need. So for medical Samaritanism, there's a lot of people out there that could just use some help. There are a lot of organizations out there, and we've invested in some over the years. There's one called Shepherd's Hope here in Orlando that does volunteer doctors, and they do clinics like one night a week for the working poor. That's all what I would call medical Samaritanism. Our current program is designed in order, because we want to create doctors like my brother, we're piloting a program out at UCF College of Medicine where their medical students have to go do medical Samaritan work at a local clinic. The one that we're partnered with is called Grace Medical Home. And so these students come out once a week. It started out as once a month. Now it's gaining. This year we're moving it up to once a week. And essentially they go out and they care for people who don't have any other options for health care. In doing that, we're supporting the community in financial and in healthcare ways. But what we're also doing is we are helping those students see that healthcare is not supposed to be about numbers. It's people. And as they deal with people who don't have many options and help them by giving them some options, we're really hoping that we can impact those students' lives and their careers going on down the line. And if they stay here in Central Florida, that's great. If not, whatever community receives their services, we hope will be positively impacted.
And if you would tell us about the fund and how you got started on this path.
The original name of the fund was very long. It was the N. Donald Deeble Jr. MD Good Samaritan Fund. And the reason why it was named that is that was my brother's full name. And my brother, back in June of 2002, had stopped on the side of the road. He and his family were driving up to Georgia for a holiday, and they saw a vehicle that had overturned on the median. And it was raining, and it was pretty not a good scene. And so my brother was one of about five or six people that stopped to help these folks on the side of the road. Coincidentally, all but one of the people that stopped were all first responders. They were either doctors, EMTs, firefighters, nurses, what have you. They worked to help this couple that was in this overturned vehicle. And as they were working, an 18-wheeler came up over the ridge, really not paying attention. A lot of their safety equipment was not functional. And when they saw the stopped traffic in the road, they swerved into the median to avoid that and ran right through the accident scene. Of the Good Samaritans that stopped, my brother and one other gentleman were killed instantly. All the rest, except for one, were injured to such an extreme that they had to be flown out. So after that event, several of my brother's friends came to the family and said, you know, we don't know what we want to do, but we want to do something. And so what grew out of that was the Deeble Legacy Fund. And so it grew out of that with the Deeble Legacy Fund. We started down the path by literally just learning it as we go. It was very entrepreneurial. Everybody on the board, was someone who, everybody on the board, on the initial board, was a small business owner at the time. Our board has kind of expanded over the years, but in those early days, all the people that were involved were small business owners. And so we just did it, I think, the way you start a business, which is that you do what you think is right and you try new things, and sometimes they work out and sometimes they don't. Eventually we hit on a formula that worked really, really well for us. And we've been around for 12 years now.
Phenomenal. Today we're joined by Peter Deeble, a board member of the Deeble Legacy Fund, a small local charitable organization which has impacted the community greatly for over 12 years here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Peter, how do you support your efforts?
Well, I'll tell you, we are beginning that process. You know, in the past, we always had this big gala that was called A Night for Champions, and it was one of the most popular galas in all of Orlando, and we did quite well with that. Galas have kind of gone by the wayside, especially after the economy had its challenges. So what we're doing now is we are looking for investors. That's the best way I can put it. Yes, we're a charitable organization, so we're looking for donors, but what we're really looking for is people that want to invest in our dream of creating medical Samaritan programs across the United States. We're starting out here locally, which is what we do, and we're trying it out at the UCF College of Medicine. But long term, our hope is to have this spread across the state and hopefully across the country. We want to bring the people back into medical care. And so we are looking for people who want to be a part of that. There's a lot of ways to be a part of it. There are advisory board places and things like that, but more than anything, what we really need is investors right now. We, because we're very entrepreneurial, when we plan to do this change and create this new program, we committed to funding this program for 2 to 3 years. We budgeted for that, and we're in the middle of that. And now we've got to go out and find some new investors to help us build up our endowment so that these programs are self-supporting as we go forward.
Well, lastly, Peter, what were your greatest challenges in starting the fund, and how did you overcome those? I'm sure the entrepreneurs can apply that accordingly.
Well, I'll tell you, in the very beginning, we were blessed somewhat because of the tremendous impact that my brother had on the community. He was very well known, and he died so suddenly at such a young age that we actually we had a little bit of, I don't want to say it was easy because it wasn't, but we did have that help because there were a lot of people out there that said, yeah, something needs to happen in his name and all of that. How do we get it started and the challenges? The biggest thing for us is that we knew nothing about running a charitable organization. We partnered up with the Community Foundation of Central Florida, which is what houses our funds. And because it houses our funds, they also handle the legal and administrative stuff, if you will, and they advise us as we go forward. And that helped us out a lot. They were very much trusted advisors and still are today. They've opened some doors that probably we could never have opened ourselves. That being said, we tried a lot of things. Some of them worked, some of them didn't. We tried to do some of the heartstring, that kind of stuff. You know, you see an event happens on the news and you want to help out. And you know, this is how they need help. We did a little bit of that in the beginning. But that really isn't, it's not something you can build a fund on. Ultimately, we happened upon an idea that was just thrown out at a meeting, and it was the idea that, you know, well, how could we impact a bunch of organizations all at once? And so we created these things that were called Good Samaritan Grants. And so we went out and found the 10 organizations that we felt best fit what we wanted to do, and we invited them to join this program. And essentially, there was no guarantee that they would get a grant every year, but if they worked with us, odds were pretty good they would. And at the end of that program, we ended up with about 12 organizations that had taken part in it. And I think the average was we gave about $40,000 to $50,000 to each one of them. That was a good, successful program. It took us 2 or 3 years to figure that out. So the biggest thing for us was to just stay committed to what we wanted to create in the world. And just keep plugging. I mean, we had to be very entrepreneurial about it. We had to make sure that when we were picking board members, that we picked people that were a good fit for the organization, yes, but also what can they bring to the table? And I'll give an example of that. We had a couple of our people, board members, that were salesmen in their real lives. They owned an insurance company, and they chose to leave the board. And so they were really the people on our board that were most used to asking for the check. And so the family felt a little lost then. So we went back and we looked at things, and we invited a gentleman named Eric Shulman to join the board. And I remember having this discussion with him, and he said, well, why me? And I said, well, beyond the fact that you're a family friend and you're a successful businessman, you teach sales training. We want you to ask for the check. And he understood that, and it's a passion of his, so it was a good fit. Did we make some poor choices over the years? Sure, every business does. But the biggest thing for us is to stay clear on our mission and just keep plugging.
Well, I think that's some very sound advice. Certainly appreciate that you're joining us today. Before you go, how about telling our listeners where they can get more information, also where they can support Diebel Legacy Fund?
Absolutely. We have a website. It's the DiebelLegacyFund.org, and that's D as in David, I-E, B as in boy, E-L, LegacyFund.org. And on there, you'll find all types of information about our fund and about how to support us. We're also on Facebook and Twitter under the Diebel Legacy Fund name. And, you know, we would love to hear from anybody who has ideas or wants to invest or just wants to talk about the cause of supporting healthcare in our community.
Well, Peter, certainly has been good to have caught up with you. It really has been inspiring to hear what you've done here with the Legacy Fund, Diebel Legacy Fund, and wish you all the best moving forward.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and thank you for all your support.
We've been speaking with Peter Diebel, a board member of the Diebel Legacy Fund, a small local charitable organization which has impacted the community greatly over the last 12 years. And the website of reference, once again, is DiebelLegacyFund.org. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.